Hello, everyone. This is Mary Sutherland, PUFO Radio. Tonight we have with us Sergeant Ingrid Dean. And she wrote a very interesting book, Spirit of the Badge, an eye-opening introduction to the human side of law enforcement. For the first time ever, a book that portrays the metaphysical and spiritual elements of police work. Spirit of the Badge is 60 true police stories of divine guidance, miracles, and intuition. And it's an inspirational collection of real-life accounts from active and retired police officers across the country. So Ingrid is going to be giving you some of you, of course, know many police officers, you know, but and we all know them, you know, as pretty nice people. You know, but then there's other there's another side, you know, that's been portrayed of the police officers, and and especially on television, you know, that's it. So anyhow, Ingrid is going to show us this more personal side of the police officers as they've been out in the field and experienced certain things and shared those stories with her tonight. Welcome to the show, Ingrid.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I got your book finally. Yeah, and now is this your first book?
Yes, it is.
And tell us, are you getting a good response from it?
I am pleasantly surprised, because I just wasn't quite sure how the public and other police officers would respond to the book.
Uh-huh.
But it's been very, very positive.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited that I'm getting more stories.
Uh-huh.
So possibly a second book on its way.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So you want to share some of the stories with us? How do you want to start this out?
Sure.
A little bit about yourself maybe at first?
Sure. I've worked with the Michigan State Police for almost 20 years now in a variety of capacities, such as a road patrol, a polygraph, forensic art, and major crime investigation. I've also taught interviewing and interrogation, and presently I'm a detective sergeant at the Traverse City Post in Traverse City, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the idea to do this book when I went back to school for my master's degree. And as I reflected back on my years in police work, I realized that there was a side of us that's never shared on television. I think the media has kind of exploited us and has built police stereotypes that have unfortunately become a part of our collective consciousness. And in my opinion, the media has done very little to examine the depth of the human being behind the badge and all of our exceptional and paranormal police experiences.
Well, don't you think that, but there's a lot of officers that don't want to share that either. I have, for example, the Sci-Fi Cafe here in Burlington, you know, where various people come in and, you know, share these type of stories. But I've never seen the police officers really stepping forward to share these stories before.
I think that they're opening up.
Uh-huh.
I really do, in that, you know, we are a rather conservative profession, and I do think that because I am a police officer and I know how to talk to them and I know their language, that they were more open with me as far as these stories go than they would be with someone outside of police work. And part of it is because of the nature of our job, and we want to be seen as reliable and credible. So we have to be careful who we share these types of stories with.
Yeah, that's what I've also heard too, you know, because I have several people, you know, that are friends of mine that are police officers, and they said that, you know, the credibility is the biggest issue. Because they don't want to, well, for example, turn around and say that they saw a UFO, and then have to get on the witness stand, and then have somebody, you know, looking at them like, yeah, and you're also the officer who sees UFOs, huh?
Right. Right.
You know.
Right.
And believing that things that go boo in the middle of the night.
Right. Right. And but I think that more and more things are coming out, especially on television, with angels and UFOs and extraterrestrials and stuff, that for whatever reason, things are changing. They're opening up a little bit more, which also allows us to open up more as well. So I'm an avid believer in a change in paradigm, that, you know, that's part of the reason why we're having so much economical troubles and political power struggles and such, is because we really are going through a major shift around the world.
Hmm. Okay. Well, how did you get these officers to open up? I mean, they knew that you were going to do a book. And but did they? I'm just kind of curious. Did you use their real names or?
Yes, they're all listed.
And so they had no problem. Yeah, so they had no problem actually. I mean, these names that you have here are actually the real names and all these officers.
Yes, and they're real departments.
Well, kudos for the police officers. You know that, you know, put their names behind this work as you did, and you know, so
right.
Because that kind of that. It would be nice to think that the police also kind of work on the same wavelength as the a lot of us do, you know.
You know, it'd be nice to think that we all did,
yeah.
You know, but it's obviously not so. You know, there's certainly, you know, police officers that are still black and white, and of course there's always some bad cops in the field who join the profession for all the wrong reasons. But I think that we see that in every profession.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's always a bad egg or one or two people that ruin it for the rest of us.
Sure.
But I really did admire and respect all of these officers that I had contact with. And when I first began asking for stories for my research project, I asked my closest friends first.
Uh-huh.
And the police officers that would bring me polygraph examinees. So I saw officers every day from various departments, and so I inquired with them and asked them if they had any exceptional moments or coincidences. Again, I spoke more their language and not way out there,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. And I was pleasantly surprised that the several ghost stories and angel intervention type stories came through, and word spread. They started asking for stories on my behalf. And so next thing I knew, I was getting some stories from out of state as well. So it was very exciting to connect with officers that I'd never met before as well.
Mm-hmm. The it's true what you say about using the proper wording, because even I watch these crime investigation shows where, you know, an officer is using a psychic, you know, to get some sort of a reading from something,
right.
And you know, and they have a problem with that because the psychic is saying that, you know, basically she's telling them that she's getting this, you know, she's getting a reading that that this person was she could see this person or feel that this there was a certain person that had committed a crime in a certain area. And when she would walk into that area, she would get these waves that would come over her, you know, to confirm that she was right.
Right.
And so, you know, and the police officer go, ooh, you know, I don't know, this is a little bit, you know, strange, you know.
Right, it is a
but,
far out.
Yeah, this is a little far out. But then, right, but then later on, you'll hear that same police officer say, well, my gut instinct told me to go look at this one crime scene.
Right. Right.
And there I found, you know, I was walking around and I found this object.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute, don't you realize that you pretty much did exactly what she did, but you're just using another term for it, like, in, you know, instead of intuition, you're using gut instinct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those, in fact, I use that word quite a bit when I talk with officers, is gut instinct. You know, what are the odds? Have you ever had a situation where, you know, it was just unbelievable in the sense of timing and, you know, who you talk to, and they actually connected.
Yeah.
You know, they got what I meant, but I didn't use the word synchronicity because they wouldn't know what that meant.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that the lingo, that would lingo would be, you know, pretty much more onto the, you know, in their minds, the kooks of the world.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's the same thing.
Right.
You know, just a it's just a different term. Yeah. So I guess it's kind of trying to find that common denominator, you know, of words, you know, that we can pull together in order to be able to communicate back and forth with one another.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What about UFOs? Did you ever talk to them about UFOs as
well? Oh, yeah. In fact, I have some more UFO stories coming up for the next book.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like once a couple people came forward and spoke about UFOs, that more people were inclined to come forward. My favorite in the book is called Colors Never Seen Before. Do you recall that story at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a trooper who reported this story, who I knew personally, and this happened in my area. And Traverse City is on Lake Michigan, mm-hmm. on the Great Lakes, where a lot of UFOs are observed. And it was like 6 a.m. in the morning, and he gets dispatched to a house. A woman had called the post and said, there is this thing hovering over my house, and I just want to know what it is. She didn't even use the term UFO, but she said, I have no idea what this is. I just want an officer to check it out. Well, he thought that it was like a mental patient. Several people had been released from the state hospital during that year that probably didn't belong on the streets, and so he admitted taking his time to get there and regretted it later. When he finally arrives to the house, he doesn't see anything at all. When he arrives into the driveway, it's a clear morning sky. She comes to the door, and she's asking him, did you see it? And he says, well, no, ma'am, I didn't. And this trooper is a pretty conservative, Christian-oriented, small-town police officer, and not really what I would call a terribly open-minded trooper, older, set in his ways. So he says, no, I didn't see anything. And she said, well, come with me. Come through the house, and I'll take you to the deck where it's hovering. And he kind of shakes his head and says, well, okay. And he walks through the house. He gets to the sliding glass doors. And as soon as he steps out onto the deck and looks up, he said his knees buckled. He said this thing was so huge and so massive, and it was as big as a football field. And as he looked straight up at it, it was round, and it looked like honeycomb cereal all mixed together. The lights were overlapping and intersecting. And there was a neighbor next door that had a video camera. So the lady called her neighbor, asked him to come over, and before he did, he looked out his kitchen window and saw what looked like lightning bolts. So what's interesting about the story is that from different perspectives, the UFO is seen differently or isn't seen at all.
Uh-huh.
Because when the trooper pulled up, he didn't see anything. So if there's such a thing as cloaking, like on Star Trek, it looked completely normal until he went to that back deck and looked up and saw a complete view of it.
And he would have seen it on the other side of the house just as easily?
Yes, this thing covered the whole house. It was a...
But when he pulled in, he couldn't see it. Nothing. Until she actually pointed it out.
Until she dragged him through the house to the back deck, and they looked at it from a different perspective, from a different position. And then, of course, the neighbor looking out his kitchen window, and he said, well, all I see are, like, lightning bolts. Again, that's a different position, different perspective. I thought that was fascinating because he came running over with his video camera, and then all three saw the same thing hovering above the house, and it was huge. It was nothing like the trooper saw from his driveway or like the neighbor saw from his window.
You know, I have a UFO reporting center here, and I've been getting doing reports for, about 9, 10 years, maybe about 8 years. I've never heard a story like that.
Yeah, and it's on videotape. I've seen the videotape. And I put a picture.
Oh, and it actually showed up on the videotape, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And is this available for other people to look at the videotape, or what did they ever do with it?
I have a copy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I promised the lady, she's the only one living now, that the trooper and the man have both died of cancer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And I thought that was interesting because neither of them had cancer in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw the UFO too, but did not get cancer. I just thought, gosh, you know, maybe they were so close to that thing that, you know, they got radiation poisoning or something. I don't know, but... the videotape has not been available to the public, but they were interviewed by several stations all over the country. The National Enquirer showed up at the State Police Post here in Traverse City as well. And the woman was harassed repeatedly, and I think maybe just because she was female, it was kind of sad, but she must have received like 15, 60 phone calls per day saying that she was full of crap, and people at nighttime were showing up on her property and, you know, looking for anything to indicate that there was a UFO there. They were trespassing, and so she personally felt very negative afterwards about it because of the way people had treated her. The men, on the other hand, they thought, wow, you know, they went and interviewed with folks. They were a little bit more positive, and the trooper was very different after he saw the UFO. It's all he talked about. He looked at life much more openly than he ever had before. So they all had different attitudes about it.
Hmm. Well, we've had, I had this one officer here in Wisconsin share a story where him and his family were leaving from Milwaukee and going north, and then there was a bright light that came down. Next thing they know, their car is stopped alongside the road, and they're just sitting there. You know, there was missing time, and he's never been able to recover that time. And so he called me up there for a long time. He had a very... very difficult time dealing with that. You know, we went through months and months and months, you know, of just talking, you know. And then eventually, you know, he kind of accepted the idea of what had happened. But, yeah, it changes a person's life,
yeah.
You know, and how they look at things, you know.
Yeah, there's another story similar to yours that's in the book as well about called The Encounter. And the officer had recently retired from police work, but was also a fairly conservative, articulate, nice-looking guy. When I talked and interviewed with him, there was no doubt in my mind that he was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to indicate that he would ever lie about something like this. But he thinks that he had Well, he remembers having contact with alien beings from the aircraft, and he describes himself as standing frozen in the yard with two or three other people that were looking up just like him, frozen-like, and he said it took all of his strength to turn his head to look at things. But he specifically remembers three gray alien beings. And next thing you know it, he's in his living room, and his kids are on the floor in the living room. And when he looks at the clock, it's like 3 hours later. And at first he's thinking this must have been a dream or something. But when he sees the kids on the floor in the living room and he questions them that morning, they saw lights. They saw a dozen or 13 lights that scared the heck out of them through their upstairs bedroom window, and so they came downstairs and slept on the floor. So that missing time has always bothered him ever since. He doesn't know what happened. He has absolutely no recollection whatsoever.
No.
But it's interesting.
The officer that I was telling you about that had the missing time, I'd asked him one time, I says, well, as a police officer, after you knew that you had saw a UFO, and you knew that you had missing time, had you ever had someone call you, you know, as an officer to report a UFO? And he says, yeah. And I says, and how did you handle it? I said, and he said that him and his partner went out, and they just took the report.
Right.
I said, did you try to comfort them, or try to tell them, because the person was pretty distraught, and says, well, naturally the first thing that comes out of anyone's mouth is, you may think I'm crazy, but, naturally this person did too. They says, well, you may be thinking I'm crazy, but I saw this UFO. And I said, at that point in time, did you ever take him to the side and say, well, I don't think you're crazy. I've actually had experiences myself. Did you ever try to do anything to comfort him, on this? And he says, no. I says, why? And he says, credibility.
Right.
It's a credibility issue.
If another officer talked with him about it, it might be a little different for him. He might be more open to sharing. It'd be interesting if I could ever talk with him myself, to see.
Oh, sure. I could give you, I have his, I'm sure he'd love to talk to you about it.
Yeah,
I know he would love to talk to you about it.
You know, the one officer that shared the story...
he lives right here in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah. The one officer that shared the story in my book caught a lot of heck for that.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while he said he didn't care because he knew exactly what happened. And there was a lot that he remembered about that experience, including a hole in the sky, which other people have remembered also, but not too many people remember it.
A hole in the sky, such as a hole in the clouds?
Yes.
Now remember, that happened in Chicago at the O'Hare Airport.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It left a hole in the sky like that, right above the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
You said that his fellow officers, though, made fun of him?
Oh, yeah.
This is what irritates me.
It's not just officers, it's other people.
Well, sure, this is what irritates me, is, if someone's seen something out of the normal, especially during this time and age, because of terrorism, and national security. Now, we don't know what this is up in the sky, but we do know that we saw something. And it just seems that people are so conditioned to just laugh at somebody that sees something out of the ordinary. That, and we shouldn't do that. We should be taking any unusual sighting serious, getting reports, and trying to get to the bottom of the matter. I mean, it's more than evident that there's something going on. There's some sort of vehicles out there in the sky that have capabilities that we are not familiar with. And it just seems that we best be, you know, finding out what this is, because it could be a national security, you know, a threat.
Right.
You know, don't you agree?
Yeah, I do. I'm of the thinking, too, that just based on the trooper story that I shared today, if a craft is able to cloak itself like that, and I'm just using that because it's a familiar term, but it was invisible from the driveway that he pulled into, and I'm thinking something was the matter, that it, you know, something was malfunctioning, and that's why they were able to see it from a different perspective. And
well,
it just makes you wonder how many aircraft are up there that pass through that we don't see.
Well, it's just a matter of bending light.
Exactly.
So the light could have been bent there on that one side, but not bent on the other side.
Right.
Thus, it was invisible at his angle of perspective and not on the other side.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking anyhow.
Me too.
Yeah.
But
then, you know, we can get around that one, but, you know, when an officer sees grays, you know, little people, you know, then that's a whole new ball game.
I remember when I met this officer too, and just being a polygraph examiner and looking at the way he articulated things and his body language and the way he came across what he saw, he genuinely, you know, perceived in his own mind and heart. I mean, there was nothing to indicate that he was trying to lie to me. It's not like I paid any of these officers to give me stories. They gave me these stories just, you know, for my project to help.
Yep.
So there was no motive for these folks to lie.
Right.
So when I heard his story, I thought it took tremendous courage for him to tell me what happened.
And well, it does. It does.
Yeah.
As it does anybody's out there that has seen something like this, because they all put themselves on the front line, you know, and have to deal with the ridicule and, you know, the cruelty that goes with it.
Right.
You know, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, we're already misunderstood enough, you know, because of our conventional tendencies, you know. Our uniforms are a symbol of the conformist, and you know, people don't exactly like us as soon as they see us. You know, we're an authority. So if we come up with this kind of an experience, it really muddies things up somehow in people's perceptions of us. So I understand why officers, you know, wouldn't talk about these things. But I do think that things are changing and it's becoming more acceptable.
Yeah. Well, we have to work together.
That's right.
I mean, after all, we're, you know, it's for the same cause.
That's right.
You know, and you know, so you know, now you've also had angel experiences that you've reported in your book.
Yes. Yeah.
Get away from the UFOs for a little bit here.
Yeah. One of the chapters is angels and apparitions, and a story that comes to mind right away is called An Angel Shield, and it's among my favorites. In fact, if listeners go to my website at Spirit of the Badge, they can actually listen to the audio, the music and sound effects with it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The story is about a Detroit officer who stops a car, and then a man jumps out and starts shooting an automatic Uzi weapon at him, over 100 rounds per minute. And the bullets hit his patrol car, and he has the choice of staying in the car or stepping out of the car. Either way, it looks like he's going to get killed. He decides to step out, and as he does so, he suddenly sees what appears to be a shield, a huge light a huge shield of light of some kind that's deflecting the bullets. This is what he perceives. He feels very protected suddenly. He has enough time to draw his weapon and start shooting, but the bad guys get back into their car and speed off.
Well, I'd like to see you when he was telling you that story. I bet you that one really came out of the blue, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
What an amazing story.
It is. In fact, it's on my website.
Mm-hmm.
If any listeners out there, including yourself, want to actually watch him tell the story, he was interviewed on a television station, and it's on the website to watch.
All right.
Great guy, very credible, reliable. He just firmly believed that it was some sort of divine guidance or angel intervention that helped him that day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there's another story that I just love, too, from a trooper on his way home from work. He started falling asleep at the wheel of his pickup truck. And before he knows it, he's headed for the shoulder of the road, and he hears this voice yelling, "Wake up, wake up, wake up," repeatedly and really loud. And he turns his head to the right passenger seat, and he sees this man sitting there, eyeball to eyeball, maybe a foot between them, yelling at him to wake up, but he's also full of light. So, you know, it's not just your normal ghost, you know. It's angel feeling is what he said. And he quickly adjusts the wheel of the car, gets back onto the road and recovers. But when he turns to the right again to look, the subject's completely gone. And he said, "Ingrid, this was no dream. He says, I know what I saw." Said it was bright, it was glowing, it was this man yelling at me to wake up, and I know it was an angel. It was a guardian angel of some sort. So I love that story.
Yeah. Well, have you ever had any experience? What made you want to do this book? Something brought you there.
I have grown up with the paranormal and have always loved the extraordinary and multi-dimensional stuff. And my nose was always in a book as a little kid, in the sci-fi books. And
you'd love my cafe then.
Oh, I bet I would.
The sci-fi cafe, yeah.
I bet I would. So I've been raised with ghosts and angels, and I've always had what I call helpers around me. Same thing as angels, but that extra guidance that I tune into. And in my job in police work, I think because of the stress, I think it pushes me and other officers beyond our five senses, that we have to listen to something.
Exactly.
You know, whether you call it angels or intuition or gut instinct, what have you, there's that something extra out there that keeps us alive. For me, I had one instance where I stopped a car, and this was interesting because there was a bullet in the visor above my head.
Oh my gosh.
It was just a bullet that I don't know how it got there. My partner put it there. It was just an extra piece of ammunition that when I stopped the car, it fell into my hand, and I thought, signal. Maybe I should be a little extra cautious when I walk up to this car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so I was, and I called in the plate also before I got out of the car. And when I walked up there, the guy was cordial enough, but I found out on the radio that he had a warrant for assaulting a police officer for attempted killing of a policeman. So I thought that was so strange, those little signals that we get in life or divine guidance, like pay attention.
Yeah.
So.
And basically that's all a psychic does, is they've just taught themselves how to pay attention to those little telltale signs.
Exactly, or when you're imagining. Mm-hmm. I have huge imagination. It's just the way I am. And when I start imagining things that are just that seem ridiculous, I don't look at that as just imagination. I look at that as something that's coming through. And most of the time, I'm right on target. It's like being able to decipher imagination versus intuition, or looking into the future. So,
yeah, well, that's imagination is the nation of magis.
Yeah.
I
like that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And what does magis do? Exactly what you do.
I never looked at the word that way, but that's, you're right. So, and you know, a lot of these stories too are very heart-oriented and inspirational as well. So we've got lots of paranormal, intuitive, synchronistic type stories in the book Spirit of the Badge, but there's also a whole chapter called Healing with Humor and Lessons of the Heart. So I think the heart is an incredible organ and source of energy that we don't acknowledge as much as we should. You know, I think in this Western world we get pretty caught up in our heads a lot.
Right.
The heart has so much to offer as well.
So, well, give us an example.
Like of a heart story? There's one story in there called Denny. It's probably my favorite because I knew Denny personally. And the story about when he got shot 22 times by this crazed militia-type person. And the story is written by the deputy who somehow got between the house and the perimeter of officers. Denny had gone up to the door of this man who had been threatening his neighbor with guns, and the guy just opened fire on Denny. Again, shot 22 times, and the deputy, who somehow got caught in between, wrong place and time, heard Denny yelling for help and pleading for someone to get him off the porch. And after this deranged shooter had shot Denny, the guy had gone downstairs to get more ammunition. And this is where the deputy, this is the time when the deputy ran up onto the porch and dragged Denny off. And it's a very sad, emotional story because of the begging, from the officer who was shot, and the courage that it took for the deputy to run up there. He had to actually go around the railing of this porch and, hit his head on the wall. He was running so fast. But he did get Denny, and he was so shot up that his limbs were falling off because of gravity. And a very sad story, and it's an example of the kind of trauma that we put up with as officers.
Yeah.
And it's that part of us that people, they appreciate it and they like to watch from a distance, but they don't want to get too close. And we get right in it. You know, we have to, and that's what we get paid for. So many of the stories are, some of the heart stories are very emotional like that.
Well, my son, he's right now he's trying to become a police officer, so I can relate to this. Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
And my father at one time was a police officer too, so.
Oh, wonderful.
You had a story in here about the dogs.
About dogs?
Uh-huh.
Yes, there was. It's a synchronicity type story. It's in three parts, and it's interesting how things happen. And again, the signals and the messages that we get in life. And this trooper had gone into a humane society and was kind of looking for a dog, and had pictured getting a big dog. And didn't really see one, but he saw this smaller dog that looked somewhat appealing, and he thought, well, maybe I'll get that, but I'm going to sleep on it. So he leaves, he comes back to the Humane Society the next day, and he sees that the little dog's gone, and his first thought was, well, oh good, you know, somebody took the dog home. Well, when he approached the lady and asked where the dog had been put to sleep.
Oh.
And it just he was crushed, you know, for a big male burly trooper. He was really, you know, rather ashamed of himself, you know, that he'd been so focused on getting a big dog, and here this little dog had, you know, kind of looked at him the day before.
Oh.
So, you know, he never forgot that, and but he saw another dog, and it was a small dog again, but very, very old dog, and you could see that it was going blind because it had the little milky eyes and that kind of thing, and it looked like it probably had a little bit of arthritis, and he weighed it out in his mind over and over. It just wasn't practical to take that old of a dog and to have to pay for, you know, all the medical bills and such. And then suddenly this really old man walks through the door with the cane. And he sees the same older dog. And he raises his voice and says, you know, I'll take that old dog. So the trooper again is seeing something amazing happening. In that, again, he didn't really listen to his heart. The old man recognized that dog. Decided to take it and said, come on, old fella, you know, we can grow up and die together, you know. And so the lessons that he learned now twice was that he should be listening to his heart more.
Uh-huh.
So 2 years go by, he gets transferred up into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he's just on patrol, and he's parked in an area on Lake Superior, and he hears this commotion, a group of people that are talking, kind of raising their voices, and it's a pretty cold day. If you're ever on Lake Superior, when the ice is forming and the wind is blowing, you know, it can be pretty treacherous. And he gets out of the car to see what they're talking about, and there's this little dog that appears to be stuck in the ice. And the ice has a lot of snow on top, so it's pretty dangerous to be walking on it. And this is when the trooper, you know, finally responds to his heart. Again, it's a little dog, you know, he was remembering 2 years prior, I'm sure, when he didn't, you know, obtain the dogs from the Humane Society. And he opens up the trunk to put the snowshoes on, and he carefully walks out there to try to untangle the dog, and brought his shovel with him, and his foot had been stuck. And he did save the dog and tucked it in his jacket and walked back to the patrol car, and he remembered what that old man said to the dog, and that was that, you know, it looks like your family's, you know, abandoned you, because there was nobody around there that even knew who the dog belonged to. And he said, come on, you can, you know, stay with me, and we'll grow old together. So it was just a sweet, kind of synchronistic, heart-oriented story. It was so sweet when he told it. For a guy, you know, to talk about a little dog, he had a lot of courage speaking with me.
No, okay, and you can get other great stories like this in Sergeant Dean's book, Spirit of the Badge, 60 True Police Stories, Divine Guidance, Miracles, and Intuition. And again, Ingrid, what is your telephone, or not your telephone number, your website?
It's Spirit of the Badge, all one word, .com. There's also an audio book that's available that has music and sound effects with each story. They all read like true crime drama and are in the officer's own words. And again, they're really an effort to show an all-embracing, comprehensive, paranormal, transpersonal view of law enforcement. A different perspective that people have rarely seen before.
Well, what I'm going to be doing with mine, I want to finish reading it. I'm not all the way through with it, but anyhow, after I get done with it, I'm taking it down to the Burlington Police Department and giving it to the chief as a present from you.
Great. Well, okay. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, and so. Anyhow, I thought that, I'd give it to the chief, then the chief can share it with the various police officers as they want. You know, they can put it in their, in their little room, where they, their lounge room, lounge
sure.
area.
And you might mention to them, when you give them the book that the author is looking for some additional stories that fall under those similar categories.
Okay, and, I can do that.
Yeah, that she would love to talk with officers, even if it's just a
sure, I can do that. And and the gentleman, I'm going to be contacting him tonight, maybe, or tomorrow sometime. And you'll know him because his name is Teal, and I'll just tell him that Mary referred, or said, he'll use my name,
sure.
and know who it is.
Sure, that would be great. I would love
but he's got, he has some amazing stories to tell.
Great.
Yeah. And how it put him on his life, or on his path to spirituality.
Oh, yeah,
it changed his whole life.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the type of stories we need right now. I'm tired of all the negative stories. I don't know about you. I need to hear some positive things.
Yes, and most of these stories in the book, even if a few of them are heart-wrenching, they're all positive,
mm-hmm.
and they really do show the more positive light
mm-hmm.
Of law enforcement.
And what I like about it is that they're sharing these stories.
Yes.
That's something, I think if we both, both ends reach out and touches each other, it will have a better understanding of each other, thus mutual respect.
Exactly.
But
well,
I mean,
there's an interconnectedness between us, and we're divided, and we really shouldn't be, because
no.
we're all human beings, police officer or not.
And we can take care of each other.
That's right.
We can work together, But, and it'll come. It'll be there. It'll happen sooner or later. We'll get there. Okay. And again, we're talking with Sergeant Ingrid Dean, Spirit of the Badge. And, folks, before I get you off the line, I want to remind you that January 31st, we're going to have a special event here at the Sci-Fi Cafe. It's going to be from 12 o'clock to probably about 7. But we're going to have Dean Laprini here, and he is an archaeologist out of Africa, and he's going to be here in Burlington for the all afternoon, and he's going to be talking about the sacred sites of Africa, and he's going to be doing a slideshow presentation as well, and then following that there's going to be he's also a dowser, so he's going to be doing a dowsing workshop. And the dowsing workshop is going to be, I think it's going to be about running between an hour and a half to 2 hours. So anyhow, it's going to be a great time at the Sci-Fi Cafe. That's going to be January 31st. So anyhow, I hope that you all can make it down here to Burlington, Wisconsin for the event. So Sacred Sites of Africa, slideshows, and then that workshop on dowsing. So see you here. And thank you so much, Ingrid, for sharing these wonderful stories. And taking that step forward, you know, I think that was really important what you've done. I mean, not just the book itself, but you're trying to connect, make that reconnection back with the public, with those police officers. And I think that is wonderful.
Welcome. You're very welcome, and I just thank you for recognizing that and having me on your show.
Well, you're more than welcome. And you'll be able to listen to this show on demand at burlingtonnews.net. It will also be running throughout the month on our 24/7 live stream, and you'll be able to find that live stream URL at burlingtonnews.net. So there'll be the on demand there, and then you can just click on to 24/7 live, and you'll be able to hear Ingrid's show as well as others. And then it'll be played periodically throughout the year. You know, I like to take up for my live stream. I like to take shows out of archives, and then I put them on. You know, so people will be listening to you for a long time. You know?
Great. Well, thank you.
Alrighty.
So much.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay.
Very nice talking to you.
Okay. God bless.
All right.